This morning, our scripture passages complement one another. So let us pray now for God's enlightenment. Let us pray. Lord God, as we now study your word, as we hear your word proclaimed, we pray that you will bless us, that you will inspire us with your spirit, and that you will enlighten our hearts and our minds. We pray all of this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Old Testament reading comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you, to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. This is the word of the Lord. And now from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart and with all your understanding and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. This is the word of the Lord. Several years ago, a radio station ran a contest, and the disc jockeys invited their listeners to tune in their clock radios just for fun. They said that when you wake up to the sound of FM 106, call and tell us the first words you spoke when you rolled out of bed, and you'll win $106. Well, it didn't take long for the contest to grow in enthusiasm. And the first morning, a buoyant disc jockey said, "Caller number 3, what did you say when you rolled out of bed this morning?" And a groggy voice said, "Do I smell coffee burning?" Another day, a sleepy clerical worker said, "Oh no, I'm late for work." And somebody else said her first words were, "Honey, did I put the dog out last night?" But then one morning, a third caller said something unusual. The station phone rang. "Good morning, this is FM 106. You're on the air. What did you say when you rolled out of bed this morning? And the voice responded, Shema Israel, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Said there was a moment of embarrassed silence. And then the radio announcer said, sorry, wrong number, and cut to a commercial. Well, try to remember, what did you say when you rolled out of bed today? Chances are those words set the tone for the rest of the day. But for the pious Jew, the first words each morning are always the same. They were first spoken by Moses, who said, keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Teach them to your children and talk about them when you lie down and when you rise. In the passage that we heard a few minutes ago, some scribe asked Jesus, which commandment comes first? It was probably intended as a trick question. If Jesus picked only one of the 613 commandments that exist within the Old Testament, he left himself open for a barrage of criticism from those who favored another commandment. In the Gospel of Mark, there are over a dozen occasions when the scribes oppose Jesus. They mock him, they dispute him, and conspire against him. And certainly they will pounce on whatever answer he offers. And yet the scribe immediately acknowledges Jesus' wisdom when Jesus answers, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. It is no wonder. The primary obligation for every good Jew and Gentile alive has always been to love God with the heart, with the center of all passion and trust. That is the primary purpose of human life. And the law teaches us, you shall love the Lord your God with all your soul. In Hebrew, the soul is the breath of life, the part of us that is the breathing part. One day, the creation story goes in Genesis, God formed a man out of dust and breathed into his nostrils. It became a being. The elements became a person, and the breath of God blew alive a human soul. To love God with the soul, therefore, is to love God with every breath. We affirm that the source of every breath is the God who gives it. We breathe because God has breathed life into us, and we have the capacity to love God because God first loved us. By commanding us to love Him with our soul and breath, God commands us to do what only God has made it possible for us to do. Our breath is always the power behind every word and song. And the commandment goes on to say, you shall love the Lord your God with all your mind. We have heads to think, ideas to develop, and thoughts to express. When we wake each day, we are called upon to love the Lord with our minds. Anybody who was listening closely to the scripture just a moment ago did not hear these words from the original commandment in Deuteronomy. It actually did not talk about the mind. The Gospel of Mark implies that Jesus added these words. The Gospel was written for a world that spoke Greek in a culture with a deep respect for the human intellect and its capacity to think. If we are called upon to love God with every possible human ability, the implications are clear for the first audience of the Gospel of Mark. We are to love God with our minds. As a seminary professor once put it, if we take seriously the notion that in Jesus Christ, God became a human being who experienced human life, then Christians are called to think theologically about everything that goes on in our lives. It's not enough to have a faith that feels deep feelings. We must develop a faith that thinks profound thoughts. You shall love the Lord your God with all your mind. If only mental stimulation we receive comes from Facebook or from cable television, then we do not have the capacity to know how deeply God loves us. And as John Calvin once noted, if we are fearful, it is because we have not studied and learned the promises of God. To sum it up so far, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with the center of passion and trust. You shall love the Lord your God with your soul, with the breath of life that God gives. You shall love the Lord your God with your mind, with the brain that pursues truth. And finally, you shall love the Lord your God with all your strength. We misunderstand love if we reduce it to a sentiment of the heart, a word from the breath, or a thought from the mind. Love is also something we do. Love is a word that taps our energy and flexes our muscles. Remember that throughout history, God has entered into covenants with those who seek to follow him. To love God with all our strength is to keep our part of the relationship that God has established. We are called to do the tasks which God has made it possible for us to do. In this text, the kind of love God called for is a love that can be commanded. Each day we wake to face some task for God's sake. If we pledge each new morning to love God with all our strength, we pray that the work we do will be part of God's work, that we might delight in his ways and walk with his love. So what should we say when we rise each morning? Eugene Peterson, the author of The Message, the paraphrase of the Bible, and let me just acknowledge that Eugene Peterson passed away last week, a man who touched millions of lives through his rendition of the Bible, through The Message. But the way he put it in The Message was, love the Lord God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence and energy. Those are good words to put on our lips. And with them we announce that our lives will be directed, not wasted. Rather than stumble around each day and end up nowhere, the great commandment calls us to aim our hearts and minds somewhere. And as we inscribe these words upon our hearts, we aim ourselves in love toward the God who first loved us. And it is with that in mind that we now go to this table to enjoy a feast that has been prepared by our Lord God. It's a feast where we recognize the plan that God has had for our lives from the beginning of time. And that is that we have the ability to be redeemed with him. And we do this by celebrating and acknowledging the life, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Lord's table. Through the waters of baptism, we are born into Christ's family. That family is nourished and sustained at this table. Though we are baptized but once, in the Lord's Supper, we reaffirm our commitment to Christ and God renews us with grace. This is the joyful feast of the people of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share the feast that he has prepared. Let us now give thanks. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and our praise.
Almighty Father, creator of all things and source of every blessing, by your power and wisdom, you brought the universe into being and created us in your image. You called us to love and serve you. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with choirs of angels and with all the faithful of every time and place. We join in giving you praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
God of glory, you are holy, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, whom you sent out of love for the world to be our Savior. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ was born as one of us. By his death, Christ delivered us from our sins, reconciling us to you. And risen from the tomb, he gives us new and abundant life so that we live in him and declare,
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
Almighty God, we come humbly before your throne. All glory is yours now and forevermore. Amen. On the night when he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim Christ's death until he comes again. Let us pray. Almighty God, as we now bow humbly before you, awaiting this feast that you have prepared, we pray that you will pour out your Spirit upon these gifts of the bread and the cup, that you will inspire us to share your love with the world. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the way that you continually bless us each day. As we wake anew, help us, Lord, to have words of praise on our lips. We pray all of this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, this morning we will be serving communion by intinction. So you may come forward if you're able and take a piece of bread and dip it in the cup and proclaim the good news of the Lord. For those who are unable to come forward, please remain seated and we will come to you. And we also have gluten-free wafers and a cup available this morning. I will come down and stand with the gluten-free for anyone who chooses gluten-free. This is the Feast of the Lord. To any of our visitors, this table is open to all who believe. We invite you to come and join us as we partake of this feast. Let us come.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, on this holy Sabbath day, we do bow humbly before you as your servants. We thank you for the privilege to know you personally. We thank you for the way that you bless our lives each day. Lord, we thank you for this feast that you put before us, the opportunity for us to come together as your followers and to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. We look forward, Lord, to serving you in ways that you have planned for us. Help us always to be open to your urging. Lord, on this day, as we celebrate those joyous times in our lives, as we celebrate birthdays and safe travel and trips successfully completed, we also remember that there are those who are in need of your presence, of your healing, of your comfort. We do indeed lift up Janet Allen Chin as she nears the end of her life here on earth. We pray that you will bless her, that she will feel your presence, and that she will be at peace. And Lord, we lift up to you those who are about to face medical procedures, those that we are aware of and those that we are not. But we do lift up to you Christy. We pray that you will be with her as she undergoes surgery, and that we pray that it will be successful, that her recovery will be quick. We thank you, Lord, for the miracles of modern medicine. Lord, we just praise you and thank you for all that you do in our lives, the way you enrich our lives, the way that you use us to share your joy with others. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, the one who taught us to pray by saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And now let us respond to God's word by returning our gifts to him.